Reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be reading chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he had said. Come and see the place where he was laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to worship him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priest everything that had happened. And after the priest had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, you all know the story of the Easter Bunny, but I'm here this morning to tell you the story of the Easter rat. Years ago, a scientist decided to do an experiment on lab rats to determine how long they could swim. Do not ask me why this guy thought it was a good idea. I mean, maybe he had government funding he needed to justify. Maybe he hated lab rats. Who knows? But he did the experiment. This is what he did. He brought into his laboratory a huge stainless steel container with perfectly smooth sides. And then he filled it up with water. And then he picked 5 or 6 very unfortunate and unlucky lab rats to go swimming. Now, to no surprise, rats are not really good swimmers. I mean, think about it. They don't have much paws as they swim. Swimming is just not in their wheelhouse. And so, on the average, the rats were able to swim about 15 minutes. However, do know this, no rats were harmed in this experiment. He would scoop them out with a net just before they went down for the third time. When the last rat went down, he took them all back to the laboratory. He dried them off, put them in their cages, gave them a good meal, and they had a good night's sleep. Next morning, he recreates the experiment. Everything is identical. The same stainless steel container, the same amount of water, the same 5 or 6 lab rats went swimming. Everything was the same, but the outcome. Instead of swimming on the average for 15 minutes, the rats swam on the average for 60, count them, 60 hours. What in the world happened? Did Michael Phelps sneak into the lab at night and give them swimming lessons? Were they wearing little rodent-sized life jackets? No. The only difference that the scientists could figure out is the rats had learned on that first day that someone was coming to save them. And that, my friends, is why all of us are here today, this morning. Now, we are not lab rats. We are human beings. But we got to be honest. Some days it feels like they have thrown us in the deep end of the pool, and we are going down for the third time. And we just need to believe that sometimes somebody is going to come and save us. And that's why we show up every single Easter. We want to hear this saving story one more time. We want to hear it. We want to believe it. We need to believe it. I mean, we just get tired of feeling afraid and alone. And the women in our gospel story, boy, did they understand that. They headed for the tomb of Jesus in what we in the South call early dark. It's two women, it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, the scholars have never agreed on who that other Mary might be. There's all kinds of possibilities. I actually like that because we don't exactly know who she was, so she kind of stands in for all of us. The two women are heading to the tomb, and this is a journey they never expected to take. You see, they had followed Jesus, they had known him, they had loved him, they had listened to his teachings, they had witnessed his healings and his miracles. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the one. He was the Messiah, the one who had come to save them. But in less than 24 hours, that dream was blown to pieces. Those two women, they saw him crucified and die on a cross. They saw his body being placed in that tomb. They saw that huge rock rolled in front of it. They didn't come to the tomb that morning for Jesus. They came for themselves. They came to mourn. They came to grieve. They probably came because they didn't know where else they could go. But then it happens. God breaks through right in front of their very eyes as the earth begins to shake. Now we need one of those thunderclaps or lightning bolts. That would have been perfect right about now. But here's the thing you need to know. The earthquake in our gospel story is not what opens the tomb of Jesus. The earthquake happens because an angel of the Lord breaks into the world and rolls that rock away. This is not a natural occurrence. This is a supernatural occurrence. God is breaking into the world in a way that we have never seen before or since. How do we know that? We know it because of the soldiers, the ones who were left to guard the tomb. Do you remember what happened to them? They were so startled, so shocked, so afraid that they literally began to shake and they became like dead men. But not the women. And here is why. It's because the angel spoke to them. Do you remember what the angel said? First words out of the angel's mouth. Do not be afraid. That's how we know it was an angel speaking. That's how we always know it's an angel speaking. Now, I don't think angels have business cards, but if they did, this is what they would do. They would hand you their business card, and it would say, "Hello, I'm an angel. Do not be afraid." That's how they open every conversation in Scripture. Read it anywhere, and they will all say the same thing. But those four words, do not be afraid, those are powerful words. They really are. I mean, do you remember when you were a little kid and you got scared? I mean, really scared. You know, scared of going to the doctor, scared of that bully that you had to see at school every day, scared that there was a monster that lived under your bed or in your closet. And when you were a little kid and you got scared, you would run to somebody who loved you, your mom or your dad, grandparents, aunts, uncles, a family friend, it didn't matter. And you would crawl up in their lap and they would just put their arms around you and you would feel so safe. And they would pat you on the back or they would stroke your hair kind of like I do my Lily's hair. And they would always say the same thing. They'd say, "It's going to be okay. Don't be scared. I'm here. I've got you." Such a powerful thing to know that you are safe. But unless your name is Peter Pan, you don't get to be a little kid forever. And we grow up. And unfortunately, our fears grow up with us. They seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes, if you live long enough, even when someone tries to comfort you, you don't believe them anymore when they tell you not to be afraid. If you have flown much, you've heard this announcement. I've flown quite a bit in the last year or two, and I've heard it twice already. You're in the airplane, you're minding your own business, and the captain's voice comes across the intercom. And he or she says something like this: "Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing an unusual amount of turbulence on our flight today. You will notice that I have turned the seatbelt sign back on. I need you to stay in your seats and keep your seatbelt fastened. There is nothing to be concerned about." And then usually the plane drops about 500 feet at that particular moment in time. When I hear there is nothing to be concerned about on an airplane, I get pretty concerned right at that moment. But here's the thing. That was an airplane pilot's voice. That was a human being's voice. The women, they heard an angel of the Lord speaking. That's why they weren't afraid. But here's something really important we need to understand about our gospel reading. You need to understand what an angel means when an angel says, "Fear not." Fear not doesn't mean everything's going to be okay, because sometimes everything is not okay. Fear not does not mean everything is going to turn out for the best, because we all know sometimes that does not happen. But when an angel says, "Fear not," it does mean that no matter what you are facing that day, you are not facing it alone, because God is with you. When an angel says, "Fear not," it means no matter what life throws at you, you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's love is going to win in the end. How do we know those things? We know it because the rock was rolled away from the tomb. I mean, think about it. Jesus didn't need the rock rolled away from the tomb. He had already risen from the dead. He could have walked right through that rock. In fact, we know in other scriptural stories that the resurrected Jesus went through doors to talk to his disciples. A rock wouldn't have slowed him down at all. You see, the angel rolled the rock away for the women so they could see. Do you remember what the angel said to them? "I know that you are looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified, but he is not here. Look and see for yourself." And they did. And they believed. They didn't need Jesus to see, to believe. Now, later on, they did see him. And later on, they did get to have a conversation with him. But they looked at that empty tomb, and they believed. And that means that their broken, imperfect, sometimes complicated life changed into a resurrected life. And those women who had come to mourn, now they felt like dancing. They had been the followers of this disgraced, crucified Jewish rabbi, and now their Jesus was the living Son of God who had been resurrected from the dead. They had seen an empty tomb, and they believed. But you know what? Sometimes an empty tomb is not enough. You see, the soldiers had experienced everything the women had experienced. They had felt the earthquake. They had seen the rock rolled away. They had heard what the angel said. And just like the women, they believed in the resurrection. We know that because of what they did in the rest of the story. Do you remember? They go into the city and they inform the priest that the tomb is empty. An angel has rolled the rock away, and all the conversation that the angel told them. The priest immediately call a meeting, and they come up with a plan. And they decide they are going to bribe the guards with a large sum of money to tell everyone that Jesus' disciples had come in the night and stolen the body away. So the guards, they took the money and they lied. They believed in the resurrection, but they did not believe in the power of the resurrection to change their lives. They were too afraid, and they settled for their real lives, our messed up, broken, real lives. You see, they thought a resurrection life was just too unknown, too big, too scary. But not the women. No. They witnessed a truth that can never, ever die. You see, the real miracle of Easter is not if you believe the tomb is empty and Jesus has risen from the dead. The real miracle is when you allow your belief in his resurrection to change your life from the inside out. That's what those two women did so long ago. You see, there's a reason we show up for Easter every single year. I mean, there's a reason we anticipate that the rock is going to be rolled away and that the tomb is going to be empty. There's a reason some of us only come to Easter this one Sunday a year. And if you're one of those somebodies, we just thank God that you are here with us. We come on Easter for a very powerful reason. And in our heart of hearts, we know that reason. There's a voice inside our head on a closed loop. And it just tells us over and over, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late to change. It's too late to make it right. It's too late for your life to be anything different. We don't want to believe that, but the world teaches us that lesson over and over again, every single day. But hear the good news of Easter. Hope breaks through every single time we hear this story, especially if you allow your life to reflect it. There is a wonderful woman in our church. She is one of those people, she's beautiful on the outside and she is beautiful on the inside, and she has the most marvelous name you can ever imagine. I told this story about her at 8:30 without asking her permission, and I had to do a lot of groveling with her, but now I have permission to tell it to you now. This woman's first name is Hope. Isn't that a beautiful name? And she just so happened to marry a really nice man whose last name is Hope. Think about that. Hope, Hope. Is there a better name in the universe than to have Hope, Hope? Now, I tell you this story to help you remember that there were two kinds of hope that came out of that empty tomb on that Easter Sunday so long ago. Now, one of them is obvious. Because the stone was rolled away, because the tomb was empty, because Jesus had risen from the dead, we know all the promises are true. And we know that there is another better life after this one, an eternal life with God. And if you don't think that's a big deal, then you have never lost anybody that you have ever loved. One of the dearest men I ever knew in my second church, he was fighting one of those long, hard, desperate battles against cancer. And he was remarkable. He never gave up. He never gave up. He always just had the best spirit. I mean, he kept everybody's spirits up around him. I mean, he just claimed that promise and the power of his Savior. And he never doubted, not for a second. And everybody in our church was praying for him to be healed. I think everybody in that little town was praying for him to be healed. But we all know that sometimes healing comes in the next life, not in this one. And that's what happened to him. I'll never forget, his wife called me late one Friday afternoon. It was Good Friday. And she said, "I know you are so busy, but can you come see him? He wants to talk to you." And I said, "Of course I can. Of course I can." I jumped in the car and I got to the hospital as fast as I could, and I'll never forget, he was lying in bed and he was so weak, but he was still smiling, that spirit. And I anointed his head with oil and the sign of the cross, and we all held hands, his family and his friends and me, around his hospital bed, and we prayed for him, and we sang a hymn for him, and we cried together. And he was getting so weak, and when we finished, I told him, I said, I'm just going to sit down here by the bed, and you sleep a little bit, and I'll be here when you wake up. And he said, no, you will not. You have got a Good Friday service to get to. Now, you need to get in your car, and you need to get to our church, and you need to hold our Good Friday service so that everyone will be reminded that Jesus died on that cross so that we might be saved and live with him forever. I mean, he's an amazing man. So I leaned over to kiss him goodbye, and I whispered in his ear, I love you, my friend, and I am so sorry it's turned out this way. And that extraordinary man, he smiled up at me and he said, don't be scared, Sherry. Sunday's coming. And boy, was he right. He died on Easter morning while this saving story was being proclaimed around this planet. And everybody who knew him thought that was just perfect because of the way that he believed. You see, death itself was defeated the moment the angel rolled that stone away. There will be resurrection into eternal life. But there's something else you need to know. There's another kind of hope that came out of the tomb on that day so long ago. You see, we forget sometimes that the angel rolled the rock away for another reason. The angel did it for you. He did it for all of us. He rolled the rock away for those days when life is not easy. He rolled the rock away for those days when you just feel like giving up. He rolled the rock away when the darkness surrounds us and it feels like that night is never gonna end. And the one thing we cannot live without is hope in our souls. The hope that things will be okay. The hope that somebody has got our back and will be in our corner. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that you are in this place at this moment to hear the central truth of this universe. Hope is here. Not a hope with false promises, not a fantasy, not an illusion, but the hope that your life can be resurrected right here and right now. It's the hope that God is still God, and that God will never turn away his face from you, and that even if you run away, God will follow you and bring you back home. How do we know these things? Well, we know them because the rock was rolled away so that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that hope is real and that God's love will never fail. My sisters and my brothers, hope is here. And his name is Jesus the Christ, and he has come once again to save you. Hear the good news of Easter and every day of the year. The rock has been rolled away, and that tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And that means anything and everything is possible. Thanks be to God that Sunday is no longer coming. It is right here. And right now with us. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, may we claim every single second of our lives that we are a resurrection people, saved by you each and every day until we join you in that eternal life. For this, words fail. So we just say thank you in the name of a risen Lord. Amen.